This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
You know, right now, a lot of Christians are sweating. They're wringing their hands. They're worrying. They're wondering what's going to happen in our country with this whole election thing. And, you know, without getting political, I'm going to get biblical here, not political. I mean, biblically speaking, we obviously want a candidate that is sympathetic to Christianity, sympathetic to biblical Judeo-Christian values. We want a candidate that is doesn't want to slaughter innocent unborn children, someone that stands for at least a modicum of morality and true justice, somebody who abides by the rule of law, that type of thing. But listen, we don't know if that's going to happen. And we're in the middle of this election chaos that's going on right now. And regardless of where it ends up, there's a perspective in Scripture that I think will be very comforting and very helpful for us at this time. And I find it in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul is in a Roman prison. Anybody out there in prison right now listening to me? You know, I've had inmates from prisons write me before. Maybe you're actually in a prison right now. But for the vast majority of you that are listening to my voice right now, you're not in a dungeon cell with perhaps straw scattered on the ground. You're not chained to a Roman guard or to a wall. Your meals aren't being thrown into you once a day, water and bread. You're probably not there, but you might be under some circumstances that you feel hinder you from being able to be the person God wants you to be and the witness God wants you to be in this world. And Paul has some really encouraging words for us, because from time to time, all of us go through varying circumstances that, at least in our minds, hinder our ability. And we say things like, oh, if I only had more blank, if I was only able to do more, but I feel like I'm chained. I'm hindered. I'm weighted down by certain things. I want you to hear what Paul says, writing from a prison cell, okay? In verse 12 of Philippians 1, he says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Now, a couple of things in these verses that really just stand out to me. First of all, he's talking about his circumstances. And he's writing to people that are going to hear this read to them that are not in the circumstances that he's in. But that one day they might be. In fact, I'm sure that many of the Christians that heard these words read to them, the Philippians, to begin with, before the letter started circulating to the other churches, the Philippians, many of these Philippians, I'm sure, ended up being thrown to the lions, being arrested, being tortured, being beaten, all because of their faith, all because they would not bow before the ungodly principles, because they stood up like a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they refused to stop praying like Daniel. I'm sure these people ended up with similar circumstances than Paul. But he says these circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. We see this principle in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 when Joseph's brothers came to him. Remember that? They come to Joseph and they confess to them after he reveals himself as Joseph. They confess that they had sold him into slavery. And this famous phrase that comes out of Genesis, Joseph basically says, look, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And the principle behind that is that you serve a sovereign God who can and will turn any negative circumstance into something that is good for you and that is great for his glory. That's the principle. And when we begin to see life like that, mistakes, failures, setbacks, bad circumstances, junk that happens to us, you know, that old bumper sticker says junk happens. Well, it didn't say junk, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, all those things God can turn into something great. And even your past, even you look at your life, I look at my life, and I go, how in the world did I get here, right? God can turn these things into something great. I'm reminded of the story of a man who took a tour one time. This was during 19th century London, back in the 1800s, and he was taking a tour of a linen factory where they made these fine linens that were used in aristocratic homes for tablecloths and for napkins and that type of thing. And the person who owned this factory took this person on a tour and took them all the way back to where it all begins. And they went into a room, and there was a room full of just filthy rags, just dirty, filthy rags. And the owner of the factory said, we take these oily, filthy rags, we clean them up and put them through a purifying process that produces these fine linen napkins that you saw up front. See, that's exactly what God does with our circumstances. He takes dirty, oily, filthy, rotten rags, and he turns them into pristine garments and napkins that are spotless and white. That's what God does with us on the inside, and that's what he does with our circumstances. And the great thing about this phrase here in verse 12, where Paul says that my circumstances turn out for the greater progress of the gospel, that word means to have a to make a pioneer advance in something. You know, to borrow an old Star Wars phrase, to boldly go where no man's gone before. It's taking you and taking your witness to places you've never gone before. God can do that. As you continue to follow him and to step out on faith, on adventures and risks that he asks you to participate in, you penetrate the darkness, you penetrate and you set foot, spiritually speaking, in places that the gospel's never gone before. Back years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I would take my youth group on these mission trips to Mexico, and working with a dear couple down there who was doing a fantastic work among the people there. And they took us one day to this mountain village. And we were walking around, you know, telling people about Christ and talking to them and that type of thing. And when we got back, our missionary said, you know, the gospel has never been to that village before in any way, shape, or form. You were the first to bring the gospel to that village. And see, that's exactly what God does. That's what God was doing, because Christianity in this day, think about it, it was expanding, but everywhere it went, it was a new experience. No one had ever heard the name of Jesus before Paul and his companions came and brought the message of Christ to them. And in our day, in the time in which you and I live, people have heard the name of Jesus, but they have not heard who Jesus really is and what he really did for them. And because we're having more and more people that are just religiously unaffiliated today. Now, there's a lot of spirituality, you know, quote unquote spirituality going on with a lot of pagan religions and mysticism and, you know, philosophies and stuff like that. But the real Jesus that the Bible talks about, he's basically unknown in your culture in America. There's a caricature of Jesus out there, but they don't know who the real Jesus is. It's your job to show them who he is. So when you tell someone about Jesus Christ, chances are you're making a pioneer advancement of the gospel in an area where it's never happened before. And you know, one of the ways that we do that is through our circumstances. You know, Christians get sick, we suffer, we go through stuff like everybody else does in life. It's just a part of living in this world. But how we respond to that and how we take advantage of that opportunity says more about what's going on inside of our heart than anything else. That we don't crumble and crush or crush under the weight of what's going on in our world. And it's not to say we just say, oh, praise the Lord, everything's just fine. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, we're not going through, it's not a denial kind of thing. But it's really confronting our circumstances with the person of God in our lives. As Paul did and says, all right, well, here I am. I can't change what's happened to me, okay? So think about that about your life right now. You can't change the past. You can't change what has occurred to you, either whether it was self-induced or not. That's regardless of the point. What you can do is decide how you're going to use this going forward and how God is going to enter into that picture. And so whether you've gone through a divorce in the past, you've gone through bankruptcy, you may have had an abortion at some point in your past, you may have been through some immoral relationships, you may have committed a crime. Here's the deal. That is your past. But guess what? Paul had a past too. Paul's past was he killed Christians for a living for a while. That was his career. He sought, hunted down, arrested, and had Christians killed. And even in Acts chapter 7, it says that he was the one keeping the coats of the ones who were stoning the very first Christian martyr. Look, you got nothing on Paul, okay? No matter what you've done in your past, I mean, think about it this way. Unless you've murdered a lot of Christians, then you can't really say, Paul, but you don't understand, Paul. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Talk about the guilt. I mean, yeah, Paul could have carried a lot of guilt, but Christ erased that guilt because he took not only the sin, the punishment of the sin that you and I have committed, but he also took the guilt too. There's no guilt anymore for you, if you know Jesus. So the question then becomes, how will I turn my past into an opportunity for the pioneer advancement for the gospel or my present circumstances that I'm going through right now? Some of you guys have suffered some financial setbacks, maybe even lost your job as a result of this ridiculous pandemic. How can you turn that into an opportunity for the gospel? You see, everything that happens to us, God can take, and as Romans 8:28 says, turn everything into good. We know that all things work together for the good. For who? For those who are the called, for those who love the Lord, right? So when you look at your circumstances, you can't just go, well, that's it. I guess I'm done. No, no, you're not done. You've just been handed a gift. Whether it's a failure or some sort of fault of your own or some circumstance, unfortunate circumstances happen to you, you still have a choice on what you do with that. And not only did it inspire a progress of the gospel, Paul says that some of these people in the Praetorian Guard there in the prison have heard about Jesus now, whereas before they wouldn't. And then he goes on to say that it's encouraged the rest of the believers as well. You see, how you and I go through what we go through not only is a testimony to the world, but it's also an encouragement to the believers. And so that's why sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes when you're talking to someone or you're trying to relate somehow, you just tell your story. Not as a way to one up, you know, their misery. I say, well, oh, you think you've got it bad? Let me tell you what I went through. No, not about that. You're saying, you know what? I went through something a few years ago, or I'm going through something right now that for most people, they would have just thrown in the towel and just given up. But because of Christ in my life and the strength that he gives me, I'm able to bear up under this load. And I know somehow God's going to turn this into something good. At the very least, he's going to work something in my life. He's going to build character in my life, build perseverance, patience, strength. faith. There's so many things God is doing in my life and making me better. You know, there's a new iPhone that's come out right now, the iPhone 12 Max Pro, and it's got some features on it that no iPhone has ever had. And, you know, the phone industry, and especially with like Apple and people like that, they're always thinking about ways to upgrade and make it better. You know, the iPhone 1 or whatever it was called in the original stage there is nothing compared to the iPhones of today. Well, that's kind of the way God works in our lives. Every time He works within us more patience and perseverance and strength and faith, it's like we're getting an upgrade. We're downloading the upgrade, right? And then, of course, we have a choice to use it each time, right? But that's what God does. So He's going to work character in us, and that character produces hope. Listen to what the same Paul says in Romans chapter 5. He says, not only this, not only do we exult in the hope of the glory of God, but he says in verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Whoa, wait a minute. You rejoice in your tribulations? What kind of masochist are you? Look, this is what he says here. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. The word perseverance means the ability to remain under difficult circumstances. And perseverance produces proven character. And proven character brings hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So what's he saying there? He's saying that there's going to be an advance of God's character in our lives. There's going to be an advance of the gospel through what we go through. And when that happens, we're able to look back on the crud that we've gone through in our lives and go, you know what? It wasn't all for nothing. I mean, if we just like wallow in it, yeah, it is all for nothing. It produces nothing but more misery. But if we let God take those oily, filthy rags that we are and that we've gone through, and we let Him work that out to the advancement of His cause, then my friends, the height of human glory is to be used by God for His sovereign purposes. Did you get that? The height of human glory is to be used by a sovereign God for His purposes. And listen, there's no greater award or privilege or experience on this planet than to know that God chose to use you in helping shine the light of His glory in this world and into the lives of other people. And that's our goal, really. I mean, that's what we want. We want to be a vessel of honor for Him. We want people to look at us and go, wow, I thought you were a lump of coal. But I see in reality, you're a multifaceted, brilliant diamond. And people see the worth in that. And they're amazed at that. In the world that you and I live in, people look at what we go through and they just go, man, I'd have blown my brains out if that had been me. Or I'd have surely divorced my spouse if that had been me. Or that would have devastated me. No. Tribulations are really a gift. They're an opportunity for us to turn something, to allow God to turn something that is evil or that is unfortunate into something that is glorious for Him. And God's in charge of the outcome. God's in charge of how that happens and how He uses us and that type of thing. But our job is to trust Him in the process. And to say, Lord, I don't see the end of it now. And you know what? Honestly, some of us may not see how God uses our sufferings until we get to heaven and we stand before Jesus at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ, and He goes, okay, here are the rewards that are coming to you because you invested this way in your circumstances. And you know what? You may not have much money, but God says, use what you can for my glory. God says, you don't have much power, much influence in the world, but use the influence that you do have in the best way that you can for my glory. You may not understand the pain that you've gone through or the pain that you're going through, but if you simply trust God, I guarantee you He will bring something good for you and great for His glory out of it. And that is the way that He can turn our circumstances into the furtherance of His glorious gospel. Hope this has been an encouragement to you. Hang in there, my brother, my sister.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.